kind of communication we want to look at is the November kind of communication. And it's the word Thanksgiving. And when we talk about Thanksgiving, I have given you a doctrinal definition. And let me shorten it a little bit, because when you get a long doctrinal definition, Thanksgiving is a communication of God in which appreciation for past, present, and future benefits is expressed. That's kind of a long one. And so I just trimmed it down so it would be a little easier. Thanksgiving is an expression of appreciation for past, present, and future benefits. You can thank God right now for something God did for you a year ago. A lot of us do a lot of thanking God as we see what salvation has done for us, and we go back to however many years ago we were saved. I think back 34 years ago or so, 33, 34 years ago, when the Lord saved me, and I can say, I'm thankful for that. Boy, am I ever thankful. And I express my appreciation for my involvement at the moment of salvation. I don't spend all my time there, but when I think about it, I'm sure you do. You just really appreciate the fact you were saved, and that's a past benefit. And there are lots of other past benefits. In a marriage circumstance, you know, some of you have been married longer than others, but you can think back to a past benefit there. I hope you appreciate your partner. And you say, Lord, I appreciate this. You know, especially when he's brought a dozen roses or he's come home with a special little hug or whatever that's added that's a little different, you know, or that little note that says, I appreciate what you did there. That was a super meal. You knew what I like. I really like that. You know, that kind of thing. You know, all of that. And that's a past thing. And you think, well, boy, I'm really thankful that the Lord worked that out that way. There are hundreds and hundreds of things in the past that we're continually thankful. Kids, I'm thinking in terms of family. You think of kids. You think of maybe parents, past pastors, past teachers. Things that have happened. You just, if you stop and reminisce, you start thinking, wow, the Lord's done some neat things in my life. I don't feel so crummy after all. And so you say, thank you, Father. I appreciate that. That's past. Present time. Well, we'll talk about present. That's the best time. Because we look, and as we mature, we're looking for more and more things. As we're spiritual believers, we are naturally thankful. We'll find Thanksgiving as an indicator for the fact that we're spiritual believers. And then future things. Ever been thankful for the blessed hope? If you're not thankful, it's not much of a blessing. It's a happy hope. That's what blessed means. And you think about it, and you're happy, and you say, oh, boy. And if you go through a good dose of the flu, and you say, oh, my body is just so, I don't know whether it's going to make it over this one this time or not. And you say, the rapture's coming, and this body's going to change. And if the rapture doesn't come and I die, this body's still going to change. And in the resurrection, I'm going to have a glorified body, like the body of that Christ's humanity has. And you think about that glorified body. And that's a future benefit. And when you start thinking about positional truth, what are you going to think about? Those positions you have are possessions in eternity future. Yeah, that's good. That's good. And that makes us happy. And so we can express appreciation. Now, when we express appreciation, we talk about a benefit. We're talking about things. Something. Or someone. I don't know whether we should call people things. We're thinking about some object or something that's happened in our life. And so we express appreciation for those things that have come through the grace of God. Now, we haven't emphasized that except in parentheses in the definition that's there. We don't deserve anything we get. And we start to see that God gives it to us and we see their source. Now, when we look at this, we find that this word, and I've got this all in your notes, it occurs 56 times in Scripture. 56 times this word is found in Scripture. It's found in a verb form 39 times, and I've noted that in 15 New Testament books. It's normally translated thanks in one form or another. Then you find it 16 times as a noun, one kind of noun, in 9 books, and it's translated thanks. Sometimes Thanksgiving. But still has a basic idea. Then we've got another odd little noun form. In fact, it's an adjectival form that uses a noun. It's found one time, so it adds up to 56 times. Now, I assure you, we're not going to look at all 56 occurrences. We take the whole quarter and we just get thankful. And that's all. We don't have a chance to get into the other things, so we aren't going to cover all of those, but we want to deal with the key passages. Now, I thought I'd write a little Greek up here. EU, in Greek, epsilon, upsilon, is a prefix of this word, and it means good. Eucharistia, and the T-I-A ending is an addenda to make it a noun. Charis is grace. Charis is grace, or unmerited favor. Good grace. And so that's the reason we've included grace, because it comes from the idea of the good grace and our relationship to the good grace of God. And I have that noted down in your notes at the bottom of page 3. It's an expression of appreciation in relation to the good grace of God and the unmerited favor. And this is something good. And you'll notice I've given you some lexical definitions. They all translate it thankfulness or gratitude or giving of thanks. And so you can look in any lexicon, they're going to do that. Any dictionary of the Greek into the English. So it's thanksgiving, and it's an expression of appreciation for the good grace of God. And so essentially when you say, thank you, Lord, you're saying, good grace. That was a good grace, God. Is that a good grace? And you can almost see that. I could almost write commercials for Thanksgiving. And you can just see some kid with a candy bar with a big and good grace. And that's what you say. God provided it. And when you see it, you react in the proper way, and it's a beautiful thing. Now, when we give thanks, we have a few rules here that relate to Thanksgiving. And there's some significant areas that we want to touch. Now, there's one word. In English, it's a three-letter word that is supremely important with Thanksgiving. And it's the little word A-L-L, all. Because when we go to Scripture, we'll find out that we're involved in Thanksgiving for all things, in all things, and for all men. And that all is rather important. And I like the short English translation. I mean, use translation of the longer Greek word. But that all is very, very important. And it proves to us that it's the most important kind of communication that we have as believers. Because, really, it's the foundation. The foundation of our communication. When we're thankful, Thanksgiving is that foundation that moves us into the other kind, so we can be praying a prayer of worship without ceasing. It's the basis for our asking. It's the basis for a whole lot of areas, because we're in a proper relationship so that we can be heard. And let's go to these passages. I assure you we will be back at these, because these are the three most important passages that deal with the matter of Thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20 is the first one. And I think we need to look at the context before, so it indicates something that's important. I shouldn't put control there. It's a spirit-filled believer. Let's make it accurate if you want to update the notes. I had a habit when I typed these, and I used to use controlled all the time, and that's not really accurate. The word filling means to make up a deficiency in someone's life rather than control. So you could change that to updated under D1. Okay, Ephesians 5:20 is in the context, which the key verse is verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is unsavingness, but keep on being filled by means of the Spirit. So there's filling. Then you have this speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And if you're a spiritual believer, you're going to be doing that. And if you're spiritual, you're a filled believer, you're going to be giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're giving thanks for all things. Well, it's kind of rough. Is it easy to give thanks for all things? These days that we live in sometimes is really tough. seems like every time you turn around, there's another price up. It's gone up a little bit. I just, you know, my wife doesn't like to go to the grocery store, and I don't go very often at all, and they change prices so fast that, you know, if you go by a counter and you see something marked one price, it's advisable to take it before you, and not to plan to come back, because they might mark it up while you're gone. That's how quick they're going up. You've seen that, maybe. And I'm just appalled what happens. And I look at a lot of things. The newspapers come in, and I always, just for fun, look at the ads in the business I used to work in. And I had a friendly little Montgomery Ward thing that came in the mail, and I wanted to see what they were doing with their paint prices. I always have to see that. And they had a sale price that was a little higher than the merchandise I used to sell for regularly, and it was half price, so it's almost doubled in that time. And I just, my eyes just pop, because that merchandise wasn't merchandise that we would really push to sell, because it wasn't that good a merchandise. And here they're asking $16 for a gallon of paint that used to sell on sale for about $5.99 and would retail normally at $7.99 or $8.99. I look at that and my eyes fall out, and it's hard to be thankful. And if you have, you know, you have a, you hear that the commissioner, the Public Utilities Commission, the one commissioner, has made a decision as far as rates and power, and PG&E decided they're going to raise the rates a little. That hurts every time. It's hard to be thankful, isn't it? They just keep doing it, and they keep doing it, and it's hard. And we live in a time, folks, where we have a chance to practice this, and it's awful hard. And we can be spiritual in it all. And like I say, it's really tough, as tight as things are in these days. But that's in all things. We can be thankful in them, even though we just react, and this is really difficult. And so that's one area. In all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. That passage, right down on that big list right at the end of 1 Thessalonians, and it's right, really an interesting place, because it follows the prayer without ceasing passage, or verse. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Mm-hmm. Her drive out Patton Valley Road, and there's a corner down there, and meet a car on it, and you're sure that that chuck hole was going to eat the whole front end up? I almost pray every time I come to that corner that the Lord doesn't let a car come, because that hole's getting worse every time. This morning, Dr. Schaefer and I met a car coming out, and he got us in the corner before that one, and there are three smaller chuck holes there. You know, we had to get over on that side of the road and hit those. But every time I look at that chuck hole, I'm sure that there's a good $30, $40 worth of front end work right there. And but if you hit it, and you see that car coming, it's sure hard to say, thank you, Lord. Well, that's in everything. You might be in a chuck hole in that case, and if you're rolling fast enough, you'll get out of it. But if you're not, I'm afraid you'll lose your car. But in all things, whenever anything happens, you know, it's not so hard to thank God when something good happens. You know, when a letter comes in the mail and somebody in your family is had something good happen, or maybe a check comes in the mail that you didn't expect, and or maybe finally the federal government's come through with a tax refund. You know, that's real easy to be thankful. But when the IRS decides they want to review your taxes, you wonder. I've had that happen just one time. And when that letter came, I thought, oh, no, I did just like everybody else does. I thought, oh, it's hard to be thankful in that. And it was just a minor thing, because they didn't have one number. Or I shouldn't say they didn't read one number on a tax form. And if they had read it, it's written clearly. We had copies of it all. And but it was hard to be thankful. I thought, what in the world are they going to get me for it? There's nothing that I have that they... I mean, there wasn't anything. I didn't take a lot of deductions that I could have, because I didn't need them at the time. Okay, that's in all things. Now, we'll be back and give you these illustrations all over again, probably. But you need to have them reviewed. Okay, the next one is for all men, and that's 1 Timothy 2, and we read it already tonight. For all men. For all men. And it's kind of hard to be thankful for all men sometimes. That possibility is there. You know, when people come into your life, they're not there just by accident. I probably used this illustration before. When I was working at Ward's, we went out and did a on a complaint. And I went out with a credit manager who handled the complaints. Customers said the paint was peeling and it was our fault. And so the credit manager wanted me to look at it and see what the problem was. They wanted us to paint their whole house, I think, just because of the peeling of the baseboard. And so I went in and looked at it. And I told him, I said, I can almost tell you exactly what's wrong with that paint before I get there. And so I told him, and I went out and looked at it. It was enamel painted over, high gloss hard enamel, and it was just as shiny as could be underneath. I just took my thumbnail and proved that it was, you know, I made it worse, but I did it because it wasn't sticking. You have to take enamel and flatten it out, and it was the customer's fault. And he was going to give the customer, I suppose it would have been worth a paint job, a full paint job. I mean, the dollar value, a replacement paint plus sandpaper plus a paint remover plus labor. I mean, he was going way out of his way, and I told him I didn't think that was right. And he said, I don't know how that you can be a pastor and work in this place. Or be trained to be a pastor. I was in seminary at the time. He said, I don't know how you can do it. I said, well, this is just another schoolroom. I could look at people and see read human nature. And I said, if you give it to them, I don't think it's right, but it won't bother me any. And it was hard. It's hard to be thankful all the time, because I felt those people were deliberately cheating the company. And you run into people like that. And there are others you just can't stand. Well, you can say that, or you just have an aversion to them. And so you have trouble being thankful for them. And sometimes you can be thankful for some people part of the time, but not all of the time, just because of the way they are. But it says we're to be thankful for all men. So that's, like I say, the Lord asks us a lot, but if you're not a fellow believer, it's not going to happen. It's not a natural thing. It's not natural. Okay, well, the arms on the wall have said it's time to stop. And next time, I wanted to dwell on this section early because that's an important part. Next time we'll pick up, we will move a little more quickly and survey a lot of what's in here. You may say, is it all right, really? You know, after a while you get into Scripture and you say, well, we do things that aren't scriptural all the time. We do different things. Is it all right, really, to be thankful for our food? And it is all right, okay. Some people, I mean, you know, after a while you say, well, there are a lot of things we do all the time. But we'll go to Scripture and I'll show you exactly where it says you can be thankful for your food. In fact, you can be thankful for food that you might not know much about. Remember the food offered to idols? It says you can be thankful for even that. And so there are a lot of other things that it talks about in Scripture. And we'll go through them, give you a picture, and then we'll move on to the concept of praise, which is a real positive side of it too. Okay, any questions? I get charging along. I just bow my neck and run. So you have to flag me down. I'm just like a freight train. So if you have questions, don't be afraid. I like you to ask them. It's just that I sometimes go so fast that it doesn't help. Okay, next week, same time, same station. If the Lord doesn't come first, and if He comes first, we'll all be together anyway, and that'll be great. Father, bless us as we move on in the evening hour. We're thankful for the opportunity to be together. We know some are not with us tonight because of various reasons, and so we would pray that you would meet those needs, give strength where strength is needed. Care for us as we move to our homes this evening. We would pray that you give us a night's rest so we might be usable to you tomorrow and whatever we might do, and we might be able to give thanks in all things, and for all things, and for all men. And then we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thankful, too, that again, as we come to Scripture, that we have that confidence that we're coming to the divine authority, and we're attempting to discover exactly what you have to say concerning how we communicate with you and what you expect in communication and what we can expect as a result. And we trust that as we relate to the truth of the Word of God, that this might become the basis for our evaluation of any book that's been read or anything that's spoken about prayer, because we have a divine authority. And so we trust the Spirit of God might teach us those things which will give us that kind of confidence. And then we will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, when we talk about prayer, what are we really talking about? Okay, communication or communion with God. Now, if you were asked to find a key passage or two that would prove that there is more than one kind of communication, where would you go? I mean, it's in the Bible. 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 2, and the first verse is the best one, or the easiest to find. Yeah, 1 Timothy 2:1. And remember, we read that passage, or we've been reading it as we go along. And let me grab it here again. And I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And so you have there four kinds of communication all listed together as distinct and important. Now, how about another passage? We never have enough time to get into all of these passages, but we cover a few of them. That's a loaded question. I didn't review last week, so some of you missed, didn't get to drill, and I like to drill. Okay, let me give you a hint. If you are not to be anxious, if you're to be anxious for nothing, where would you go? If you have a problem with anxiety. Philippians 4, what verse is that in? Okay, Philippians 4, 6, it says, in the King James, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, after thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You've got four of them there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. So if you wanted to prove to somebody that the word prayer is too narrow, is not lined up, you can go to these two passages and you have four different kinds of communication listed. In each of these passages, there is naturally a lap here. You can't prove that there are as many as there really are. Okay, how many kinds of communication are there in Scripture? Okay, eight kinds. Okay, I kind of classified them for you. And can you remember how we did it? That wasn't fair because it's not in your notes. I did it on overhead. Okay, three kinds expect an answer. What are those? Okay, asking, intercession, and supplication are the three kinds that expect an answer of some kind. Okay, how about another one? Okay, expression of agreement, which is confession. So we've got a second category. Yeah, there we go. Now we're down there. Now, so we have asking, intercession, supplication, confession. Then we've got three others that all fit in a little package because they express what? Appreciation. Okay, they express appreciation. Those three are? Okay, praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Now, the last one's the one that we don't use very often. That expects an accomplishment. What do we call that one? A vow. A vow. And you came. Now, here we go. We get started. If I ask you what the Greek word for thanksgiving was, what is it? It out here in Greek. Okay, what's it relate to? Bullseye, right in the middle of that chart. Okay, Eucharistia. Now remember, it's EU prefix, which means a good. Charis is a grace, and it's a response to the good grace of God and what He's done. Grace, unmerited favor. Eucharistia is the term. It occurs 56 times. Rather interesting, I was scrounging around. When we come to this particular set of studies, I have done a lot of work in it. In fact, I'm not through, and I don't know whether I'll ever get back to it, but I have what I have here, 250-some pages of notes that I used, passed out in El Sobrante, in the pastorate. Plus, I had a whole lot of analytical charts. And I noticed that of these 56 times, a vast majority of those are Paul in Paul. He expects a lot of communication of Thanksgiving. And, there it is. I put a marker in there. I can tell you of all of those times how many of these are Pauline if I get on the right page. Oops, that was the one that was supposed to be the right page. Okay, in Paul, there we go, 25 plus 13. So that's 38 times in Paul. And that's a pretty good percentage of that. And so that's an important word for a grace believer as we share it. Now, give me a definition for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the giving of thanks. I remember when we were in school and they used to say, you don't use the same words to define the word. Okay. Now, last time I gave you I gave you a technical definition in the notes, but this is a simplification of it. That's a lot easier to remember. Okay? It is an expression of appreciation. There we go. For past, present, and future benefits. Okay? So it's an expression of appreciation for past, present, and future benefits. And that involves the thing provided. A benefit is a thing. So if you wanted to abbreviate it more, Thanksgiving is an expression of appreciation for the things that God provides by His grace. And though I put these down here with subsidiary things, anyway, to get it across so that you can understand and remember it. But it's an expression of appreciation for the thing that God provides. Now, you don't thank, I don't know, you've heard people, I thank you for being you. That, have you ever heard that? I've heard people pray that way. And, I'm trying to think, there's some abuses of Thanksgiving outside of the common gross ones where we really are talking about praise. Usually it's the other way around. We praise the Lord for anything. And we've got a bad example of it in the Psalms. Because they translate the word for thanks, praise, lots of times, which is a shame. But anyway, that gives us a picture. Now, this is a tremendously important one, and like you say, there is a key word that relates to Thanksgiving that is crucial. A little three-letter word. What is it? Yep, and all. It's frustrating almost because it's there. Because it is, we are to be thankful for all things. Whenever something comes along, we're to be thankful for all things. And that's on page 3 of your notes. Whoops, not page 3, it's on page 4. Page 4, under the letter D, number 1. We're to be thankful for all things. Whatever, we should be thankful for it. Now, as spiritual believers, we have that potential to appreciate all things. Brad preached Sunday night a good message on Romans 8:28. And if you're not a spiritual believer, well, your Thanksgiving isn't going to penetrate any further than the walls of the building, and that's it. But if you are, you'll be in a position where those things that come in your life are there because you know God put them there to help you in your spiritual life. And so you can be thankful for all things as a spiritual believer. Then in all things, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed was a standing on my head. I still haven't got that poem to you yet. But that prayer, you see, he was in something. He was in the bottom of a well in a terrible circumstance. And you can be thankful in it. Sometimes you wonder. But you can. And it's expected of us as believers. And then we're to be thankful for all men. I don't know, yesterday, I don't know what your reactions were yesterday. I know what mine were. And my hackles raised in a hurry. I was in Camelot Care Center talking to Brother Lovegren and sharing with him, and one of the ladies across the hall turned on her overdrive in her wheelchair and came putting over and said, come on in, did you hear the president's been shot? And Brother Levy said, no, hadn't heard it. And she said, it's on TV. And so just at that time, he had his TV going. He has it going most of the time, I think. And there was a quiz program, and they interrupted it just as she came over and announced it, so I had a chance to listen. Like I said, my hackles just went right up. I did like everybody else that was around and remembered the Kennedy assassination. And I think my hackles got up, and I thought, oh boy. And then as the news reports came in, and I thought, it's awful hard to be thankful for whoever that dude was that did that. I didn't know who he was from anything. And nobody else did. You know, gradually the news filtered it. Finally they got his name, and they weren't sure whether it was 22, 25, or 33, and all of that kind of stuff. You know, the typical news media difficulties with a big event. And so, you know, it's hard to be thankful for that. Yet in it all and for it all, you can, in a way, in that case. And always, you know, you think about that guy and say, well, you know, there's an unbeliever acting like an unbeliever. But in it all, there's still that potential that that guy could be saved. And through it all, I thought afterwards, I thought, you know, it's really neat. The Lord permitted that bullet to go the way he did. And I thought, you know, what did they say? It was less than a half inch. If it had been a half inch down or up, I can't remember what they said, it would have gone between the ribs and wouldn't have bounced through a lung. Would have been even less a problem for our president. But it wasn't, because the Lord permitted a ricochet. And what that guy's motives were, I don't know. They're playing games with that. I have to chuckle when I see that. The heads of the Congress say, we know, but we're not telling. It's been exposed to us. But there's a guy, you know, right now, you may react accordingly. I just, you know, it's hard to be thankful for a guy like that. But then, you know, like I say, I was down there with Brother Levy, and I could be thankful for him. Pretty easy. We have lots in common, and he says we hit it off, so we go on. I could talk all day to him, and he could talk all day to me. I have a terrible time getting out of there when I have something to do. But, you know, different people. We react in different ways. So that's this all is tremendously important. Now, as we look at the Thanksgiving and lives of mankind, Romans chapter 1 gives us a perspective of a problem with communication. And this tells us something about how important God sees communication and the communication of thanksgiving. Romans chapter 1, with the house of ill fame listing. Remember, Romans 1 is that passage where you have the really the house of infamy. And so Romans 1 and verse 21 gives us this description. In fact, let's read back to 20. One of those passages of Scripture that we almost got Oren on and didn't, as he covered it in his doctrinal statement, and so we didn't get him on that one. And so, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhood. Change the EA to OO, it relates to deity. So they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, looking at mankind as a whole, they glorified not him not as God, neither were thankful. When they had a proper relationship to God, how far back does this go? Adam and Eve? Yeah? Can you name another place where this could apply? You think about it, and I'll read the rest of the verse, and we'll be right back, and you can think about it. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, can you think of another time when this was so? Adam and Eve, and I know they had kids. Pardon? Before Noah? Okay, let's take it the other direction. How many people went through the flood? Eight people. They were in a condition of knowing God as a whole. All eight of them. Through Noah, by faith, relating one to another. And so you really have this picture. Remember what they did from Adam on. It came to Genesis 6 and ended up with a reason for the flood. An abject, unbelievable sinfulness. And God judges it with flood. And then coming through the flood, the human race is narrowed back down to eight people. And expanded. You know, we always think, well, Father Adam. Well, really, bottom line, in a sense, of course, ultimately he is. It all goes back to Noah. Because that's when it's all narrowed back down. And you have the different races of people that stem from Shem, Ham, and Japheth at that point. So that at that point, they move on. And I'm not sure that this is talking about just what happened in Genesis 6 and on. But from Noah's era, what happens? Ultimately, we end up at Babel. Ultimately, we end up with a division of the continents, so the races are definitely separated because of a refusal to recognize God. And God has been providing for mankind. From the flood, you've got 8 people who could be thankful, evidently. At least their kids weren't. They were alive. The rest, I mean, they came into existence. They lived. And there's an indication of it. And they went on and did their own thing. So you can see it goes back to two directions. They were not thankful. And that's emphasized right in this passage. They didn't glorify God. They didn't give him his full weight. And they weren't thankful. Now, the idea of glorifying carries kind of here, I think, a description of an Old Testament picture of worship. Giving his full weight. You don't have a real worship kind of term. There's a Hebrew word called that's pronounced palal that sometimes is used for worship, but it gives him his full weight. And so they didn't do it, nor were they thankful. They didn't express appreciation for all of the benefits that God had provided. Unique, special benefits. And so that's all mankind, the whole human race, has a problem. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I make a statement, and it sounds pretty gross in your notes. You cannot do God's will without being thankful. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 gives us a good shot in the arm of that, and it indicates that. It says, in everything, give thanks. And that's our in everything, or in all things. I retranslate that. Every and all are synonymous. That Greek word can be translated both ways. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so if you're functioning in your position in Christ Jesus, a spiritual believer, and have your reflective thinking directed in a proper way, you should be thankful. And this is like Ephesians 5. You should be thankful in everything. And that's what God desires. And that's His desirous will. He desires us to be thankful. And so that's His desirous will for us. And I think it's really true. You really can't do God's will without being a thankful believer. But that's square one, in everything. I mean, is there any time when you're not in something? Is what I'm trying to say. We're always in some circumstance, and we float through life, and, you know, our feet touch the ground once in a while, and we think, well, this is just so commonplace, I don't need to be thankful for it, I don't need to relate to it, God doesn't have much to do with this part of my life. You know, we do that, we all do. Whether, you know, wherever you are. If you're out weeding a flower bed, or if you're, you know, changing diapers, or, you know, the whole routine. You know, God, this, I don't need to be thankful for this, I really am not, but, you know, that kind of thing. Every now and then you'd like to curse the curse. If you're out pulling weeds, some of them have roots that really must be friendly reminders of the fact that God cursed the ground. I sometimes have thoughts of that nature when I'm chasing quackgrass roots in my garden. They just seem to really prosper. But we should be doing it in everything. You cannot have the peace of God without thanksgiving. Spiritual peace. Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. And that's fun. To have to be thankful. Being thankful. And you know how that works? It's really neat the way the Lord sets it up. Colossians 3. Set your reflective thinking on things above. What do you do when you think about those things? You thank God for benefits provided past, present, and future. And you are thankful. That's what happens. That's how your reflective thinking functions. You know, that setting your affection, that's not accurate again. Be reflectively thinking. And you see, your head is up there in the heavenlies, and you're thinking, and you're thanking. Because you're thinking. You don't have to be anxious. You don't need to have anxiety. Philippians 4:6. And that's neat. Because what does it do? Really, when you're thinking of your position in Christ, and you're thankful in your position in Christ, you're looking at whatever is happening in your life, like your Heavenly Father does. And it suddenly becomes awfully insignificant, because He sees many of those things as really little things that come along that He permits to make us what we ought to be. And so you can see how that fits. So Thanksgiving is tremendously crucial in our Christian life. Now, there's a section in here, and I went through my notes and I thought, oh boy, I have everything here I needed, and I don't. Rather obvious, and we will see it as we go along, that we address Thanksgiving to God the Father. He's the one that receives our prayers. And having gone through an ordination examination this Friday past, we were down in Grants Pass with Oren and giving him a run for his money. And when we were going through that, one of his statements is the Father is the one who receives our prayers. And he didn't have to be definitive. Nobody knew the difference anyway. I shouldn't say that. But that's the way he stated it. And Thanksgiving is a communication is directed to the Father. And it's very obvious in many passages of Scripture. And some people think we're picky when we say you have to be careful as to who you address what communication to. Because some persons of the Trinity do not receive those kinds of communication. And that's one reason I wanted to start out with Thanksgiving. That's the reason my order is different than what we have on the transparency. Normally, I like to teach it the other way around. But I thought, well, let's do it so we can get a good general all-around shot. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this will be a passage that you do not have in your notes. You do in the chart, by the way, have it, but not in your notes. It uses a short form of Eucharistia. It uses Eucharistia. It uses charis, or charin here, and it says, thanks. Whoops. Let me retranslate it just to make it accurate. 1:12, pardon me. 12 verse. 1 Timothy 1:12. King James says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. It actually says, I have thanks to the one who is empowering me, Christ Jesus, the Lord of us. Christ Jesus our Lord. I have thanks. I have gratitude. And that's an indicator that you have a right to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the benefits He's provided. I'm glad that God didn't put a curb on us as far as Thanksgiving. But to sit and you think through the work of Christ and the benefits that we have in Christ, just, they're thrillers. When you start to relate to these things, like I come out of an ordination council, and I'm all hopped up. I'm just tickled pink because I'm thinking theologically of a lot of things, and I'm thinking about what Christ has done, and I can't help but just revel in what I've gotten salvation just because I've had a chance to think it through again in a concentrated form and to grill a guy on it and to realize what we're talking about is something that's so magnificent that a question or two in ordination council doesn't make much difference. But it's a big, big subject. And so we think of the work of Christ. How His physical death made provision for acts of sin. How we think of His spiritual death and how it deals with our sin nature and covers that. I'm just dealing with these areas of the doctrine of salvation. Physical death providing for our guilt in Adam. A lot of these little things. And I want to thank Him. I know the Father is the one that planned it, and the Scriptures permit it. Now, by implication, we can be thankful to the Holy Spirit, but I don't have a chapter and verse, because there isn't one. And I think the reason that there isn't one in Scripture is because the author, the divine author, does what He does so often in Scripture, and sets Himself aside and doesn't give us specific information. How often do you find the Son and the Father mentioned together in a passage and you know the Spirit's involved because you have a reference to the fruit of the Spirit in the immediate context, you know, when he says grace and peace, those kinds of things, you know, he's the one that's working it out. But he's concealed. You don't have that verse there that, you know, in that first part of some of these chapters that says, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, bear greetings to you, or anything like that. No, it's always the Son and the Father together, or one of the other. And so I think that's what's happening. So, though I do think that the amount of revelation in Scripture gives us an idea of how much we do thank the other persons of the Trinity. We give primary thanksgiving to the Father. We give thanksgiving to Christ, but not as much. To the Holy Spirit we give thanksgiving when we understand. I always have a tough time when I think of my spiritual gift. And when I know what it is, I think about it, oh boy, all three of them are involved in that. And I have, you know, I have a chance to meditate on that, and I realize that the Spirit of God was the one that applied that, made it possible for me to have that gift as he put me in Christ. So I pray, I thank him for that. I tend to get crazy in that area. That's good. Not just thankful. You just want to, you think of the character of the Godhead. And the Son determined which gift I would have. The Spirit made sure I got it. The Son determined it. And the Father's the ultimate source. And so you have a chance to praise all three persons. You see what theology does for you? That's what it does. You know, you just say, well, here I am functioning. I'm doing what I'm... And you look at what God has done and how you got the gift, and you get out of the way, and you see that he's the one that should function for it. That belongs. And you're thinking about it, and you're thanking for it, and that gift can function. And he gets you out of the way. Let the Spirit of God function. So that's one of the great parts of when we talk about this all night. It's so much fun. There's some good things. Okay. So we can address our communication clearly to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, and by implication to the Holy, to the Father, to Jesus Christ, and by implication to the Holy Spirit. And I've noted that for you in your chart, that one I gave you. And it's over on, well, where is it? My alliterated outlines. I hope you don't get tired of them. When I give you the outline on praise, I'll give you two alliterated outlines on a chart. Under the section on connection, over in the lower left-hand corner, or the one that leans to the left-hand corner of the page. So you have those there. So this kind of communication, don't panic if you say, well, I sure want to give praise or thanks to the Spirit for this. Knowing you're studying the Word and you're really digging in and you're evaluating that passage of Scripture, he turns the light on. That illumination. Quick! What do you want to do? You want to thank him for doing that, don't you? I do. Wow, I didn't never see that before. That is something that... Oh, how could I have ever lived without that truth? Thank you, Spirit of God, for illumining that to me. And again, we write up the person of the Trinity. The Father is the ultimate source. Christ was the one that made the determination. And, wow. And that should be our normal reaction. And you have to have a mindset of that kind. Now, Ephesians 5:20 is the next section. And the next three passages give us an indicator that our communication is pretty essential. Our thanksgiving. As we communicate with thanksgiving, it is a basic and essential kind of thing. Now in Ephesians 5:20, it gives us some bases for it. And remember, 5:20 follows 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is unsavingness. Making melody. Giving thanks, submitting yourselves. Okay. What's the name for a verbal noun? There's still another one. Okay, participle was what I was looking for. Dennis and I were talking about this during class during the day today, and I learned my Greek and learned that a participle is a verbal noun, and that was just my reaction, and he's learning it as a verbal adjective. So I'm thinking. But anyway, the ings mean that these are participles. Now, what I'm doing here, and like I say, I'm not trying to teach it to confuse you, because when you have an ing word, it has to go back to a main verb. It's dependent upon the main verb. And these are present participles, so they have to go back to the main verb, and this is what should be happening simultaneous with this filling, or in relationship to the filling.
And so the main verb is be filled. And so if you do mark your Bibles and can understand it, I don't know how to suggest you do it unless you want to underline the ings. That tells you that participle. Right, draw a line right back up to fill. And that tells you that that is the main verb of that clause, that sentence, and that relates to filling. Now, the reason I'm going through the grammar is because the idea of giving thanks is for a filled believer. And the word filling, of course, means to make up a deficiency. When the Spirit of God fills us, He makes up our deficiencies. You know, when you fill up a... when somebody comes in and they say, fill her up, he's making up a deficiency in that tank, the part that's empty. Okay? And you ladies, when you're canning, you want to cram as much or as many peaches as you can get into that quart jar so that you don't have any deficiency. After all, it costs you money to put the sugar in there and to put the the container and the lid and all of that good stuff. And so you want to fill up the deficiency, and that's the idea of the word here. So a spiritual believer, a filled believer, verse 18, is one who will be giving thanks. Now, it says always, all the time. So that's how often, all the time. Like I say, you have to have a mindset to be thankful. If the Lord isn't doing anything for you, then you don't have to be. But if you're looking for what the Lord is doing for you, He's here taking good care of you. And He's taking good care of me. Yesterday when they described press secretary as he was being wheeled down the aisle in a gurney, he went past a reporter, and he said, the reporter said, I looked at him and the only thing I saw was the pulse rate on an EKG, a portable EKG on the bottom of the gurney. And he said, that was the only life I saw in him. And I thought, got a pumper that's pumping. And the Lord's the one who keeps it going. And wish the pumper would stop so he could be in the presence of the Lord sometimes, because of everything else that goes wrong with everything. But still, He gives us life. He gives us around here, clear air and clean air. And we can go on and on just in the physical blessings which provide a basis for it. So that's how often. Always. For what? Notice. For all things. For all things. Okay? Everything comes along. Some people say that these are just spiritual things. Nothing physical could do this. I have to deal with spiritual things. So if you have a neighborhood cat colony visiting your backyard all the time, or if you have a paper boy or paper girl, my daughter doesn't mind being called a paper girl, anyway, one of her customers started calling her a paper boy, and now she calls her a paper girl, and she's always fiddling with the terms. But if you have one that always throws a newspaper up on the roof, you know, that's not a spiritual thing, so why be thankful for that? What if your mailman's always late, especially when you need it most? You see, that's, you know, those are not spiritual things. I think so. All those things relate. They really do. And I know, I look at some of those kinds of things, and it's hard for me to be thankful for the fact that I've got quack grass in my garden and I've got night crawlers in my lawn. It's hard to be thankful for that. And if the quack grass isn't winning, the morning glories are. You know, it's kind of hard. Every year, we're out there chasing them and getting rid of them. And hell, if my attitude's right, and when it's right, great. Some days it isn't, some days it is. When I get out there and chase those things. One day, I think I worked a 4-foot square of ground for about 4 hours before I got all the roots out. I'd nearly lost my sanctification. I just couldn't believe it. But it has physical things affect your spiritual life, okay? We all know that. And so when we see that, be thankful. The Lord permitted that there for some reason. And I've been careful not to pray for patience. I learned that a long time ago. I just don't pray for patience because I know what the Lord does with that matter. He gives me some real tests to put me through and doing it anyway. Okay. So it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. So here it's addressed to the Father. Now, like I said, I didn't give you passages because we're going to run into them all along. The one in 1 Timothy is the only one that relates to Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to let this idea of a name slide, and you're just going to have to take my word for it until we get to asking communication. Because in asking communication, you have a passage in John that says, hitherto, let me put it in contemporary English, up till now you have asked nothing in my name. So we're going to talk about it there because that's a very important passage that says, now you can ask in my name and you couldn't. So I'll just tell you what it is here. And then we'll go back to some Old Testament passages when we get to asking communication to help you understand it a little bit better, how they would have understood it. So he's saying here, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the character and person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I had to sit down and try to figure out in my mind exactly how God is going to bless me because I have a herd of cats that screech outside of my window at 2 o'clock in the morning.